farm is already under quarantine. It has strict protocols for movements on and off of that property, and they're done in a controlled fashion. What the additional detection means is that, you know, it's now confirmed on another location on that property. There will have to be some plants destroyed as a way of controlling the inoculum load and the potential inoculum buildup. So that's really what the impact for the grower is at this stage. You know, it's still not good news. It's still unpleasant news, but the operations will continue relatively unchanged.
Where is this latest detection in relation to the others that have already been identified on the property?
It is in another discrete location. So we now have confirmed positives on three different parts of the farm. It's not particularly close to either of the two previous detections.
What's your understanding of the significance for biosecurity agencies who I understand are still trying to work out whether this farm is in fact the first and or only property to be infected with TR4?
The nature of TR4 is always going to make that very difficult. The fact that it can have a fairly long period where it's present but not necessarily showing symptoms in plants always means that it's going to be difficult or challenging to stay in front of you. And I guess that's why, you know, we've been so strong on encouraging all growers to get those on-farm biosecurity practices in places, because it's very difficult to know where it's not. It's only a number of places where we know that it is, but it's where we don't know that really needs to be considered. And the biosecurity agency still has a very extensive surveillance program ongoing in and around the area where it's known to be. That is really quite regular. They are still working on their trace forward, trace back to identify potentially other properties that, you know, need to be inspected. So, you know, there are further detections or further infected plants, it is hopeful that we will be able to identify them in a timely manner.
How are those properties that are selected for survey being picked out of the plethora of banana farms that are available or that are in existence?
They try to identify those properties that are at potentially greater risk. Now, that can be through a number of factors. Obviously, geography is one. If you're close to the infested property, then, you know, there's a greater risk that, you know, there's a transmission. But then other things that may be risk factors are possibly sharing of machinery or equipment and things like that. So they use that trace forward and trace back. So if there's a link between properties, that is how they start to prioritise and arrange those things. So it's not just one thing. There's a range of things that they look at in determining which properties they need to be inspecting.
How much confidence can banana growers gain from the fact that 7 months on, there still hasn't been another positive case confirmed outside of the Tully Valley, notwithstanding how devastating it is for the family that is affected there?
Oh, I certainly think while it's on one property, that's always good news. You know, I think given that this can be present for years before it shows symptoms, you know, and we're only 7 months into it, I don't think we should be... You've got to keep it in perspective, I guess. You know, there is still a ways to go before we have a greater degree of confidence around that, but certainly while we haven't found other detections, that's still a good position to be in.
And where does this leave the Robson family? Now, a third separate positive detection on their farm. At what point does it become untenable for them to continue to operate a viable banana farm?
Well, it's certainly, you know, quite devastating. Again, you know, they're trying to get on and move forward with their lives and learn to live with this disease. So, you know, these sort of events do place them under a lot of pressure and a lot of stress, and it's certainly unwelcome. Obviously, we are continuing to work with the Robsons to assist them in any way that we can. And, you know, there's other discussions and negotiations going on there, you know, in ways that we can potentially assist them.
What support can be offered to them at this time?
Look, a lot of what we're doing now is trying to make sure that we have really good information for them, assisting them that way, making sure that if there are ways that we can improve the systems that are in place or the protocols to make it easier for them to comply with or less intrusive, you know, those are the sort of things that we're working extensively with them on at the moment.
And Doug Phillips, how are they holding up under the circumstances?
Oh, look, there's no doubt that this is having an impact on the family. You know, I don't think that's a secret in any way. They are are doing the very best that they can in a very, very difficult situation.